never filtered, always fun.
You think Seagal would beat George Foreman?
He is above the law.
I used to love those movies.
He's always like a cop in Brooklyn or something.
Under Siege.
That does ninja tricks.
Yeah. And always has a little
dog. Like, he's
got
a police outfit on, and then a smoke bomb will come up, and it just starts beating the hell out of people.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
The boys are fired up on a Tuesday night, and Leaf fans are really handling a 3-0 start. I think even keeled. Take Mike C., for instance, tweeting in, saying the Maple Leafs could legitimately go 12-0 in October. It's really not that hard to imagine when you look at the sked. So they're 3-0. There's no reason to believe they won't go 12-0 in October. Mike's handling this really well. He's handling early success really well.
Well, it doesn't take long, but they got a trap game, some sort of one already.
Tomorrow night screams trap game.
Yeah, so? It does.
Boy, you got the Habs on Saturday. You're coming
off
an emotional
Habs Saturday.
Win.
You're all jacked up about Chicago, yeah. And it's like New Jersey, who was apparently the most irrelevant sports team in sports, according to Brian Hayes. So who knows? Possible trap game.
Well, you had Corey Schneider last year who had an off season. He's an elite goaltender. He's a top 10 goalie in the world. You have Taylor Hall in the polarizing trade, but Taylor Hall is still one of the better left wingers in the world. This Heischer looks like he can play. Good young player. He's not Matthews. He's not McDavid, but he's not going to embarrass himself out there. They've had a couple pieces move to that team. I don't mind them. I don't think they're I don't think they're a playoff team, but they're better, and we're giving them credit for.
Yeah, I think they're very due to move up the standings. I don't have them in the playoffs either. I'm certainly not going to put them there because of two games. But our boy Todd Hayes, I guess he was down in Buffalo watching the game yesterday, and yeah. Todd is one of the very few
like
Devils
genuine,
fans,
legit Devils
genuine
fan.
Diehard, watches 82 games a year, yeah. And lives and dies.
Yeah.
With the Devils, and he was in the building yesterday, and he said, you know what? You've really noticed they've got more skill this year. They've got pace. They've got young guys, like that Pavel Zak is playing. They've got that, what's his name, Jesper Blett or something like that? I don't know where this kid came from.
I
chopped up his name. There's no way I know what his real name is.
They've got the kid from, I think he's Woodbridge, Joseph Blandisi. That's a kid who got clipped for two diving penalties in 1 week.
Yeah, really bad one. He jumped up in the air and grabbed his kneecaps.
Threw himself.
Oscar worthy.
Yeah, that one was Oscar, but he's still a good kid. Good Toronto kid.
Good Toronto,
boy. Area kid.
You mentioned Schneider. I mean, he's legit, and he had a down year last year, but he will not do that again. So, you know, the Devils are a team that should be better, and they're younger, and they're faster. And I mean, that's what you notice in the league. The teams that are really off to good starts and the teams that are doing damage are generally the teams that can skate.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
Those are the teams that really, yeah, it's a fast-paced young man's game. That's what the league is right now.
But what's interesting, it is. That's why the Jager move in Calgary, for example, like Monahan and these guys, like they're technically, they're young, but they're not young. They've been in the league for a while. So it's not about, you know, a veteran guy coming in and being good for the kids. These kids have to be good now because that's what the league is. If you're 26 years old and you're a forward and you haven't been in the league for 3 years, like I worry for you.
Yes.
Because your window is closing.
Well, speaking of the Flames, they snap a 25-game losing streak in Anaheim last night.
I was on the team the last time they won in that building.
That's shocking. 25 times.
My first tour of duty in Calgary, not even
they
my
put
second one.
Joe was, Boo.
Yeah, did you see they had a Joe Boo
from Major
stall?
League? I saw that. That was great.
It was.
I wouldn't leave that rum around this group.
Boy. I guess you got to do something to break the hex. They beat Anaheim 2-0
last night. I actually loved Mike Smith's comments going into it, saying, like, I'm on a new organization. I don't give a damn about what has happened here before. He's like, I'm going to go out and play. Smith played very well last night. I think
he was very
saves.
Good. What about Kevin Bieksa after the game?
Took the puck.
He didn't want Matty Stajan or Tkachuk to get the puck. It's like, dude.
Greasy move. Didn't Patrick Maroon do that last year, I think, to somebody for a hat trick puck or something?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of funny. It is a bit greasy.
I don't know. But that's those are unwritten rules, right? Are you? Do you have to give the guy a puck? I don't know how that works.
The guy got his first shutout with the Calgary Flames. It's just like, what does Kevin Bieksa want the puck for? They lost 2-0.
Well, he's doing it to be a jackass.
That's right. That's you're being a jackass. Once the game's over, the score is over. What do you care about? Just leave the ice.
I think our friend of the show, Chris Pronger, did that with like a Stanley Cup winning puck.
There's been
something.
A lot.
I think that was Kane's OT winner.
Yeah, what was it?
That was because he was on Philly for that.
Yeah, nobody knows where the puck is. People were saying a referee has it.
Yeah.
I think Prongs may have just thrown that into the upper deck and
said, "Forget it." It wouldn't surprise me. He took it and threw it in the garbage. Like, he was a very fierce competitor, put it that way. Was it Ray talking on the broadcast last night how the game has opened up with the slash? I will say this. As much as I loved the game last night, I hated the parade to the penalty box.
It's crazy. It's just too
much. And I know
much.
Guys are still learning, but it was the speed of the game that it's a natural reaction on both sides. A guy gets a step on you, you take a chop. But it seemed like, I want to say there was 6 or 7 penalties, like back to back to back.
Like both sides. Like both sides. For both teams where I'm like, that's not a penalty.
I know.
Or if it is, like, can we have some discretion here, please?
It will. And I didn't like that. And that's not, you know, taking a shot at either or. It was a very entertaining game. I just want the guys to get it so that 20 games from now, we're not looking at 12 penalties being called, because it did slow. For me, it slowed my mojo down.
Absolutely, man. This is a 5-on-5 sport. That's what you want.
Yeah.
You know that penalties are inevitable. They happen every single game, but they shouldn't be happening to this extent. There shouldn't be 7-8 for each team every game. It's crazy.
That's the only negative I could draw to that from a fan's perspective last night. Is I felt that the flow just got interrupted a little bit. And I thought that was tough on your top players, because that's where Matthews and those guys can't get into a groove because
they're not playing.
Yeah, the killers are out there. And
he was in the building last night, our main man Ray Ferraro, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How was that atmosphere last night?
That was pretty good. Wow. I hate to tell you, they're good.
Hate to tell you
You're
that.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, like, there's always, you can always try and spring leaks and stuff, but I'm watching them and I'm like, man, they're good. They're like Kadri and Marleau and Komarov. I commented, gee, there hasn't been much from them. And then Kadri starts a play that leads to Brown's goal. Then he draws a penalty that Van Riemsdyk scores. And, you know, Matthews had the puck the whole night. And, you know, Hyman beat Keith to the net on a rush a couple of times. I don't know if Nylander had a great night. Brown was outstanding. You're like, man, how many guys do they have? Like, it's really fun to call a game where so much can happen. And they, from the end of the first period, they ran the show. How they were down 3-1 was, you know, I mean, one goal deflects off. Marner goes in. One, the guy shoots 10 feet wide. It goes right to Panic. He shoots it in the net. Like, they dominated the game. And yet they were trailing 3-1. And that was the right result last night.
Well, Ray, I talked to a pro scout. And I said, what do you think of the Leafs? Are they the real deal, or, you know, are they phonies? And the response was, they are clearly the real deal because 34 could be the best player in the league. And whenever you have that, you're the real deal. Is that comment preposterous, reasonable, or where are you at with that comment?
I'm not going to say not preposterous, but I would say, still probably, I wouldn't say he's the best player in the league yet.
I put that reaction out there, and Hayes almost fist.
No, that's not true. You didn't have that reaction. You said that's a joke.
I said it's a ridiculous comment.
You said McDavid is clearly the number one guy. And what was my response?
And you said, I agree.
I would take McDavid, too. I still believe McDavid
is. I think Matthews, what did we have him on our list, 10th?
I think he was 8 or 9, actually. I think he was 8 or 9.
Okay, so he's 8 or 9 right now. After 10 days of hockey, would you put him anywhere different?
Well, yeah, I'd have to put him behind Ovechkin. He's got 7 goals. I don't know. He'd be in the top 5, wouldn't he? 5 or 6?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like, the kid is an astounding player. He just, when he doesn't have the puck, he gets it He goes and gets it back. When he has it, he protects it. When he's got it, he made a couple of passes last night, and like you could see where he was going to pass it, but I couldn't find the lane, and then all of a sudden, zap, it's right on the guy's stick. You're like, man, that's just like such good stuff. And then his shot last night, if he would have taken that with his hand and placed it somewhere, he would have put it right there.
You're right.
It was perfect.
It was like, perfect.
Like, I don't know what the technical way that Forsberg could have stopped that, but the puck was delivered perfectly.
Yeah.
So the Swede pair, Borgman and Rosen, they got burned for the sharp breakaway. Gardner got wandering around a little bit. And they had a little bit of trouble. I thought Hainsey and Riley were really good. I thought Hainsey was really good last night. Like, they didn't allow much of anything. And I'm like, man, if those young kids can, as Babcock calls it, grab a piece of the pie and continue to grow through their first year, they might not need a whole lot. Like, they're, I don't know, Connor Brown is so miscast on that line. The kid is, you know, he's not fast. He's not really strong. He just knows how to play. Like, man, he. If you watch his goal last night, twice he gets to loose pucks and keeps it alive, and then eventually he scores. If he doesn't get to either of those pucks, it's out of the zone, and nothing else happens after it. Like, they're deep and fast and skilled, and I can hardly wait to watch him play Tampa. Like, I can hardly wait to see that.
Well, if there's anyone listening in Montreal, a tear just came to their eye because it's almost as if that game on Saturday night, it's like people are looking past it if you're being objective, if you're on the outside. But I can tell you this, in Toronto, and Leaf fans are not. You know, they got to get past New Jersey, and we'll see what happens tomorrow night, and we'll tee that up tomorrow. But Leaf fans are sitting here thinking, okay, it's a really good team, made the playoffs a year ago, improved in the offseason, begin 3-0, come out of the gates blazing, yet they've lost 14 in a row against Montreal. And the Habs have not looked very good, and they're in action with their home opener tonight. But I think from a fan base perspective, that positive vibe can kind of be halted if they lose in Montreal.
Oh, I would think so. It would feel like a game that, you know, like that your team is better than Montreal, and yet it's on the road, and it's, you know, they've got a goalie that can steal a game and blah blah blah. I mean, you're not going to win 82 times, and you could easily lose Saturday. But if I were them, I'd look at Calgary finally won in Anaheim. I mean, that was 29 games. How the hell does that happen? If I'm Toronto, I would be so confident that if we play the game we can beat most teams most nights. And it's a great feeling if you get to a place like that.
They need a Joe Boo, like Calgary had. I don't know if you saw that, Ray. They had the Joe Boo in a stall. What do the Leafs have to do? What's their Joe Boo? I wonder if they one to go in there.
Yeah, maybe you do. Maybe you have to. I mean, it worked for the Flames. The Flames, they stole it from Major League. They can't claim like they own that.
Maybe on our Mail It In Friday, we will create a Joe Boo.
A slump buster.
Yes.
For the Leafs in Montreal.
Team beers at the Chaperie.
The seafood buffet.
There was a time that was the meeting spot as the bus pulls up to the hotel. Shea and 20?
Yeah. Yep. And the coaches would meet you there, or beat you there, actually, because they were quicker bag truckers than the players.
We had to take a commercial flight because a bunch of the guys got caught by management in the Shea. They're like, we're not paying for you guys to fly around first class to go to strip joints. Next flight, commercial. And it was a one flight penalty.
Oh, really?
Oh, worth every second at the
well, not
shape
if you're not
parade.
One of the I was not one of the guys there. I'm sure they enjoyed it.
Because you were what, in the hotel doing sit-ups or what?
I was doing worse stuff, trust me.
That's the best part. You blame that, meanwhile. If they knew what you were up to, you'd be taking a bus home.
Yeah. Exactly. They were taking the Greyhound the next trip.
Thanks, guys. It's like, okay, team player captain over here with Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Nitpicking here a little bit, but you know, we were talking about a couple of guys on the Leafs who maybe haven't had the greatest starts, and if they get it going, then maybe they can turn this up that much more. And I look at a guy like Mitch Marner, who I feel like he's right on the brink of breaking out, but he's had a couple of defensive breakdowns. The first goal went off his stick last night, but it seems like he's just an inch off, but I have a feeling like the floodgates are going to open for him soon. What have you thought of Marner so far?
Just okay. Certainly by his standards, right? So if you go back to last year, he's got 4 goals in his last 24 games. And there is a scrutiny that he's going to be under now because of the way he plays. And, you know, it's going to be tougher to hide and surprise guys. It's going to be tougher to get a chance that maybe just appeared out of nowhere. And so remember how he went a little dry down the stretch last year and still getting some assists and things, but he just couldn't finish or didn't score. And it's kind of the same so far. When I see the defensive stuff that's kind of got away from him a little bit, the only concern would be that you start taking risks around the ice because you're worried that the play is 140 feet away. And those of us that were supposed to score, we all were guilty of that. You cheat at one end because you want chances at the other. And the simple reality, hard as it is to get your head around, is you do a better job closer to your net and you get more chances at the other end. It's not like I think, oh my God, he's going to go 15 games without a goal. He had the chance yesterday, he held on maybe just a bit too long and the chance disappeared, but he's so creative that he will find his way out. He will, I don't worry too much about him. I haven't noticed him as much with the puck this year as I did last year.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say 5-on-5 for sure. I think power play, it still kind of runs through him and he finds some open ice. But yeah, 5-on-5, remember the way he came out of the chute last year. Matthews had the 4 goals opening night, but Marner, we were in the building. Marner was just as good.
6 chances that night. Remember he had a crossbar and a
it was unbelievable.
You're right. Matthews scored 4, but we actually all were up there saying,
look Marner, at this kid.
It was almost like Marner played better.
Opener against Boston on the Saturday night, and he just got his season started so quickly and looked so comfortable. I think it was almost surprising because he was a guy coming into camp that wasn't guaranteed to make the team, and now this year he was guaranteed, and we spent the whole summer talking about how much money he was going to make, and he's off to an okay start, like to your point, Ray, but I think the expectations, because of his play a year ago, they're really high. They're really high for Mitch Marner.
Well, he certainly didn't ease his way into anything, did he?
No.
And so now you know there's a game plan that goes on in the other room, and he's part of it. And, you know, people are talking about, you know, when he gets it, we got to get up on top of him right away. Don't give him any time to start handling the puck. They now will talk about when he gets the puck and starts to wheel around the zone, instead of going to him, just keep him outside, make him continue around the zone. You know, like that last year when he did that the first couple of times, it was like the other team didn't really know, okay, when do I attack him? And when they do, he slides it through their feet and goes around them and creates a chance. So now maybe there's a different way to play him. And so now the back and forth is he'll have to figure out some more stuff. When do I, instead of going around, now I cut through the middle. There'll be a new lane there. It's all a read and a, you know, and then execution. But his brain will see things other people can't. But he's now a focal point. You know, they're not talking as much about Kadri, for example, as they are about Marner and Nylander and Matthews. And that's a different level you, as these kids have, they've quickly grown to.
Well, it's a segue into Vancouver and their situation, because I think Canucks fans were hoping that their Mitch Marner this year or their William Nylander would be Brock Besser. And they're in action again tonight at home, their second game of the year. They picked up a big win against Edmonton over the weekend. And they've got Ottawa in town tonight. And Travis Green announced earlier today, Besser will not play again. And you and I were going back about this over the weekend. And
what do you mean again?
Well, he didn't play opening night, and he's not playing again tonight. And,
oh, again. Okay.
And
sure.
Besser, I thought he had a great camp. I guess, Ray, you said he tailed off towards the back end of it. But
yes.
How does this kid not play? Like, what are you doing? I don't get what Vancouver is doing. I don't even care if he didn't
like,
have
make sure you get Thomas Vanek in the lineup.
This is your future. Brock Besser.
Well, I don't think there's any question that Brock Besser is the future or part of it. I mean, that's, I don't think anybody really disputes that from the Canucks side. I had this, you know, like Guy Boucher was talking about Thomas Chabot. And, you know, he's been recalled, and he'll likely play tonight because they've got three defense out. But they'd sent him down. He needs some time. And Boucher said, you know, we love this guy. You know, we love everything about him, but he's, you know, he's not full-time NHL ready. And so it got me to think that it's the same thing with Besser. The management and the coaches love him as a prospect and a player, but they don't feel he's ready to play right now. The fans want the coach to love him now, not later on. And so the management signed Thomas Vanek. I'm not sure of this, but I can't guess that was what they thought was going to happen at the beginning of summer. Vanek's out there. They're like, okay, let's sign another veteran. Well, signing another veteran pushes one of the kids out. And so like, they're not going to sit Vanek out in game two. It's not happening. So you've got Besser. To get him into the lineup, who do you take out? They played almost a perfect game in the opener. And so now he's going to have to wait till Thursday. And then they'll have to decide on somebody Thursday. But he tailed off considerably. And I'm still surprised that he's not in. But I can see why they decided to go with Vertanen as their other young guy instead of Besser.
Well, listen, at times we get caught up in what the Maple Leafs are doing, and believe me, the Leafs were the complete opposite of what you should have been paying attention to for years. Whatever the Leafs were doing, do the opposite and you'll have success. But looking at what they did a year ago, now those kids, maybe they were further along, maybe they showed they were ready, but it felt like last, you know, two Junes ago, they said, we don't care what kind of camp they have, Brown's playing, Hyman's playing, Nylander's playing. We're going to throw them into the pool and make them swim. And they did, but
okay,
you got to...
The difference was they'd all played in the American League, right?
Right, but Besser
and a lot of these Canucks kids haven't.
Sure.
So I would say that's part of the...
Then send them down, I guess. But I guess what I'm saying, Ray, is like Green keeps saying, like, oh, we're playing him. He's not going to sit forever. We're going to play him. So... Like, why game four? What does that prove over game?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the, you know, what the formula is for it. But I'm almost certain that Besser sitting on the sidelines for five games is not going to happen. And
right.
At the end of the year, if Besser and Vertanen have played 65 games, and Besser's got 13 goals and Vertanen's got 10, I think everybody would be really happy.
And sometimes the coach doesn't agree with a signing and they'll be like, okay, I'm going to put this guy on the ice and show you how garbage he is. So here he is.
I don't think there's any question that a lot of times what flows downhill to the coach's office isn't initially his plan, but that's just the way it is. Here are your players and these are the guys you coach. Now, I think Vanek will help their power play. Hell, they were 29th last year. I could help their power play. But that's where his opportunity is going to start. But, man, he's playing with the Sedins. I mean, that, with all due respect, that's as slow a line as you could have.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they were terrific on the weekend. They really were. Now, what it'll be for game two, I don't know. I don't think they have any grand plans that this team is going to be competing for you know, for any great height. So they'll just take it as they go. And I do know that if anybody's got a handle on what these kids are like for the Canucks, it's Travis Green. He just coached them all.
Right.
He's been in Utica for 4 years. And so I'm sure they want these kids here as quick as they can, but they got to be ready too. And, you know, we forget that Marner might be special, but Marner went back to junior. Nylander was in the American League. Hyman was older. Riley came from the old regime. But for the most part, these young guys, Connor Brown was in the American League, like they've been in the American League. I think one of those two kids, Virtanen or Besser, will end up in the American League before a few weeks. It's almost like Kyler Yamamoto in Edmonton. I don't know what he played last night. He played 6.5 minutes the first night and under 8 last night. He's going to end up back in junior. It's always a great story. Alex Formanton is an 18-year-old in Ottawa. He'll end up going back to junior.
Yeah,
for sure. You know, if they can't play a lot, you might as well send them back.
No question. And I do think that's what most people would be bracing for at this point.
I was going down that road. It was my first year in the NHL. Healthy scratch. 5 games in a row, and I'm thinking, I'm probably going back to junior, and I want to go back to junior.
Isn't it funny? You can say to yourself, like, okay, that's it. I want to go back. I want to play.
Nobody wants to sit around. I didn't. Like, I love the lifestyle of the NHL, but every game you come off, like, off the ice after warm-up and the assistant coach has to grab you, you're not going tonight. It's like,
yeah, okay. Get on the bike, would you?
Yeah, that's not fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to play. Ray, spontaneously, you supplied us with a great bit a few weeks ago, and it is Tuesday, so you know what that means. Mullen, hit the music.
Well, I guess I don't feel like laying a toilet seat on everybody.
Come on, flush, you bastard.
Toilet seat Tuesday.
I was just shaving.
Toilet seat Tuesday.
Oh, great. Now, so what's the criteria? Do I have to put the toilet seat on somebody?
Yes, you have to put it on somebody. It can be anyone in the world, anyone that came across your radar. So
well,
you
I'll
wanna,
fire one up.
You want to fire that up? Go ahead.
I'm going to go with the Sabres. They're yucky.
Just the whole team.
Everybody.
Get that was a hell of an effort last night, wasn't it?
They are brutal.
Brutes. Magoots.
Wasn't yucky. Good.
You just get around. Your guy.
This guy's a turd. I need to pronounce his name. Hayes, you need to help me with this. It's the tennis player who walked off.
Kyrgios. Yep, Kyrgios.
Oh, he is.
This guy deserves... He deserves the toilet bowl right on his head.
Yep.
Because he's an idiot.
Seat.
Yep.
I don't even want the seat. I want the bowl on his head.
Porta potty.
Yes.
Porta potty.
Porta potty. We'll stuff his head into the porta potty.
Porta potty Tuesday for Kyrgios.
He's a dope.
Ray, you got anybody on the radar?
Hang on a sec, Ray.
I was kind of thinking a little quick that it had to be hockey, but I'm going to put on my fan hat, and it's going to be John Farrell.
Yes. You'll get a lot of support in Toronto for that.
Yes, I know that, and I did enjoy when they won the World Series and Farrell was in the front car and all the Blue Jay fans were so mad. I like that, but I've had it. He gets the toilet seat.
Good. I would also like to add the Dolphins assistant coach.
Oh, yes.
That's who I was going with, but I have another chapter to add to the story I was reading before we came on because the video going viral wasn't bad enough. Now everyone's digging into this guy's history to find out what his deal is.
Yeah.
Turns out he owes over $500,000 in back taxes.
Wow.
So not only did this guy just throw his career down the drain.
He is struggling.
He
with
is
money.
Struggling. And I guess he's
okay, I missed this part of the story. How did the video get out?
Well,
he sent it to a peeler in Vegas.
Oh, well, that's a hell of a move.
Isn't that an obvious answer? Don't you? Didn't you think that would be the answer?
Every snort, he was like, I miss you.
Yeah. I miss you, baby.
Just a brilliant move. Send that video to a peeler in Vegas.
Her name was Aloha.
It's a tough way for the career to go down, isn't it?
I would have never sent that to Aloha.
He was making like $3 million as an O-line coach.
And you said he's very talented, like he's one of the sought-after coaches.
He was a year ago.
He's creative.
Yeah. He's energized. He's always ready to work. He loves a meeting. God, does he love a meeting.
Man, he loves meetings.
Loves a meeting. Hates to pay taxes.
Yeah.
What the hell would his act have been at the Peel?
Oh, it must have been.
Making it rain.
He must have been flying in off a chandelier. Like, he would have been going crazy but at a peeler.
Isn't there a saying, like, hookers and blow? Like, that's literally what
isn't
this guy was...
Isn't there a saying? Yeah, there's a saying. I've heard it
before. That's what this guy was up
Somebody had a famous quote saying, I spent almost $2 million on hookers and blow, the rest on stupid stuff.
It might have been this cat down in Miami.
It might have been.
Because he's got to put it on like he's really regretting his past. He didn't look like he was regretting his relationship with his friend
in Vegas.
Could you
imagine this dude at practice running around from left guard to right tackle? No, block him here. Move your feet over here. Head over here.
Imagine if he went like Mrs. Doubtfire and he got all coked up and put the gear on and came out like as a player.
But we all forget that he's actually working with Laramie Tunsil.
That's amazing.
The guy with the gas mask.
The draft pick from a year ago who got outed for smoking weed.
It's just crazy. This story just keeps giving. And they've got Jay Cutler there to smooth things out.
Cutler will get
to the
bottom.
You know you're going
to
get a gritty response from Jay.
Oh, yeah. He'll be inspired by that.
By the way, did you hear his quote about when they had him as a decoy?
No, what did he say?
So on that, he goes out as a receiver. He didn't flinch. He didn't move. He just stood there, and the play went the other way. You know, like he, I don't know, it's like he was so uninterested. And they asked him after, and he said, supposed to be a decoy. Supposed to stay out of the way. So I did. I don't think the play is just go stand there.
His give-a-crop meter is so low right now. And yet, he's the savior. They bring him in to try to get them over the top. It's incredible. Not happening.
I'm looking forward to next Tuesday, boys.
Should be good. Start thinking now, and we'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then. Later, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out the new 2018s and get rates starting at 0%, plus receive 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. Go to MapleToyota.com. Speaking of the NFL, it was a big game last night. The Vikings ended up winning. Stories out of New England in terms of the status of Tom Brady. We'll tell you about that next. Fergie was just talking about the weather down in Chicago. This would be such a bummer. I mean, the Cubs are up 2-1. You had a chance to close tonight. Let's say you've had tickets for a while. You're dying to get there. Game 4 at Wrigley. And it's more than likely going to be rained out.
That's
so
awful.
They'll push the series back. I mean, it happens. That's what you get with baseball. And if you've got a field that doesn't have a roof. But I don't take a lot of time to appreciate the Rogers Center because I'm not a big fan of it. It's just a concrete jungle. There's no character. There's just nothing about it that really sticks out that I love. But I will say this. If you buy tickets, you know they're playing.
Yep.
If you circle a date and say I'm taking off work or I'm going to make sure they are
rain
playing.
Or shine, you're going.
They play every single game.
Yes, guy.
81 home games when they're supposed to play.
I will say one thing about Taddy and yes, guy, no, guy. I golfed today with three gentlemen, and every putt that went in, I heard yes, guy, and every putt that missed, I heard no, guy.
Come on. So yeah. It's catchy.
And these were guys that we never even talked about Taddy or anything. It was just the putt would miss and yes, guy. Putt went in.
No, guy.
Whatever. It was yes, guy, no, guy on the greens all day.
So why do you think that is? Because we throw it out there and pay homage to the great Tap Man? Or is it because they're listening to yes, guy, no, guy during the pregame and they're like, I can't get enough of this?
I don't know.
Greg Gilbert just gets hammered with that yes guy, no guy. How many, you had a couple years with the Tat Man, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Where he would just drill you?
Yes guy.
No guy. Tat Man taught me how to do this stuff. He was awesome. He's the best.
Be a broadcaster.
He's been in the game for a long time, man.
He's had a mustache.
Just abuse me in the
since
pregame
day one.
Show. What about this? What about that? What do you like? What do you not like?
Trying to get the answer, man.
Whoa guy.
Speaking on behalf of the people.
Yes.
Don't forget, Overdrive is looking for... Well, we're looking to honor some grit-grinding beer leaguers. Get on Twitter and send us at TSN 1050 radio, at TSN 1050 radio. Christ. Horrible segue into this read. Your best beer league team name using the hashtag beer league contest. Hashtag beer league contest to at TSN 1050 radio, and you'll be entered to win back your league registration fees. A winner will be announced every Friday. Brought to you by the ASHL. Play with the largest rec hockey league in the world. For more details, go to TSN1050.ca.
Do we have your first read when you were just chopping broccoli?
Oh, that was
pillow read.
You were yelling at him.
You got one. I don't even know what the
All
hell.
All right, Mullen will go back and look at it, and he'll find it. We can play it. We can dissect the tape. But I don't think I was explaining what happened in this room. Noodles, you were witness to what took place.
I was having some of my lunch from the Irv.
Yes, your box.
And my chair fell down. Like, it broke. It went to the floor. But then you started chopping brock.
But, I mean, I think there was a distraction because it's like you fell. Like, it was almost like a Farley skit. Like,
that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, I was thinking you went...
Oh, fat guy in a little chair?
No, but like, I thought you went through the table.
Yeah, I thought you went through the table.
Inspirational speaker, whatever they call it.
And
motivational speaker.
By the end
speaker.
Of the show, we are going to pick a night for the first boys' night. At the Irv.
All right. Do you want to hear the tape? I got to get to this Brady update in a minute.
But all right. Let's hear what you had to say.
Steph's dad got on there. He used the promo code, and he is loving the product. And if you can do it, if he can do it, you can do it. And they're offering the best offer ever. You get one. What's so funny? What are you looking at? Well, you almost blew a wheel over there. You threw me off. You're eating your Irv Pub feed bag. That was it.
Not bad.
I thought
it was like, he can do it, I can do it, and you can do it.
It was choppy. I mean, I was trying to wing a read for my pillow, but again,
Tommy
the fact
one
that
wingy.
You went Matt Foley over in the corner, it threw me off a little bit.
Foley.
All right, so Brady, as we know, played last Thursday, and he's getting beat up. Like, we pointed this out on Friday, that he's been sacked 16 times through five games. To put that into perspective, last year he started 12 games in the regular season, was sacked 15 times. He's already been sacked more times through five games than he was all of last season. Suffered what is thought to be an AC joint sprain in his left non-throwing shoulder, but he will continue to play. Now, it's his non-throwing shoulder, but that's got to be painful if you keep getting sacked and keep getting beat up.
Right.
Again, the guy's 40. Like, he's 40, and when you consider what Roethlisberger said a week ago, those comments immediately dragged me back to Brady and the greatness of Brady and the fact that this guy is still so driven. He's won more Super Bowls than anyone else.
Yep.
He's been to seven. He's married to Giselle. The guy's got probably, what, $100 million cash in the bank.
Yep.
First ballot Lock Hall of Famer, arguably greatest player of all time. He doesn't have to keep playing.
If you look back on some of the greats in sports... And the first guy that comes to mind is Tiger Woods. He would never admit to the field that he was almost done. Even right now, he'll have a presser at the beginning of a tournament and be like, I feel if I can do this or do that, I can get in contention. And this guy's blowing 80 out there and missing cuts.
Mm-hmm.
But he would never say, my game's in no shape right now. I think he's starting to come around to it now. Just the idea of his health not being able to let him play. But they would never say something like, I don't know if I got it anymore.
This is mid-season. This would be like Tiger after Thursday's round being like, oh, I'm not making the cut. I'm brutal. I don't know if I can do it anymore. Like, it's easy for Tiger to have a comment now when he's nowhere close to a tee box. He's
His
not
comment
playing.
Would be, you know what, I missed eight fairways, but I putted really well today.
He'd find a positive, and he'd say, I'll get
and
back at
it everybody would be
tomorrow.
Like, this guy's nuts, but he just wouldn't give it to anybody.
Right. And listen, maybe Roethlisberger is just being cheeky with the media, and he's trying to get people off his back. I don't know what his thought process was, but he's 35, I believe. He's been in the league for a while. He's got a couple of rings. He's got money. He could leave right now, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. But Brady's like 5 years older than him. And Brady's sitting there saying, I want to play another 5, 6, 7 years. And he keeps getting beat up. And it doesn't change
his drivetrain.
He's crazy. He's a lunatic,
but
Brady.
That's how they're wired. Like, think about it. That's all they've known their whole life. Like, I don't know. Oh, when you retired, you were done. I don't know if you knew in your mind, like, where you were in your life.
Really, like, really, really done.
I still wanted to play, but I knew I was done. Physically, mentally, all of that, but you still want it. That's why I went to Europe and, you know, went to Russia, went to Japan to kind of just get it out of my system. And then once I got there and realized, okay, this is the final kick at it, I knew I was done. The minute I, honest to God, the minute I hung up my skates, I put the pads on once for a tournament in Slovakia and then once for a, I hate putting the pads on now. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm done with it. Like I joked that I threw my pads in the river when I retired. Because I'm done with it. People ask me, you want to play? No, I don't. I'm done. Mm-hmm. But I was at peace with it. And I think every athlete has to get to that point, whether it's forced or an injury, like through an injury, or you just realize, like, I've got a family, I've got other things that are exciting me in life.
Well, and ideally, that epiphany strikes during the off season.
Yes,
like you're 5 weeks into a 16 game season, and if that thought process has popped into your mind, where's it going to be at in five more weeks? Let alone after 16 games.
I would argue that because things are so raw after a game, be interesting to see what Ross, what he has to say.
Three in response today. Now that he's settled down.
3 days from now.
Well, we'll catch up with Brian Baldinger. We'll get his take on that, longtime NFL Network analyst, and just how Roethlisberger responds to his comments and to his poor game over the weekend. And there's a lot to get into with Brian. So we'll do that in about 20 minutes. Bobby Mack in studio at 6:20. You see that Lindsey Graham, the politician, tweeted out that he played golf with Trump yesterday and Trump shot a 73?
Not a chance in hell.
Has to be fake news.
Do you think? I mean, is
73?
He good?
Well, no. I don't know how good he is. I think he's okay, but he's 70. He plays a lot, which he maybe shouldn't be playing that much.
The guy cheats at golf. That says a lot about the guy himself. He cheats at golf.
Wrong.
73?
He cheats at golf.
Lies. Oh, he lies.
Wrong.
That's him saying, you're lying.
Yeah.
And did you see Trump, like this whole Rex Tillerson stuff where Tillerson
called him a moron.
Allegedly called him a moron, and Trump, I guess, spoke to the media today or was speaking with someone and challenged him to an IQ test?
Really?
Trump versus Tillerson, the IQ test.
This guy's a beauty.
He's running the show down there. It's incredible. That's the Secretary of State and the President potentially battling it out to see who's got the highest IQ.
There should be your celebrity boxing.
That could be a great pay-per-view. All right, Bobby Mack in studio on the Leaf game last night. The Habs are in action tonight. There's a bunch of different news and notes throughout the league. And Brian Baldinger will check back in, former NFLer on all news National Football League.
And before this show's over, we're going to pick a date for a boys' night at the Irv.
Okay, we'll get to the bottom of that. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.